Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, have been called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously.
The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea.
The Lord is my strength and my song.
And he has become my salvation.
Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power.
Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy.
You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed.
You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode.
You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain.
The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode.
The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord is from the book of Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each to his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
resurrection of our Lord from the four Gospels. Very early on Sunday morning, just at dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other women who went to the grave with spices to embalm Jesus' corpse. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" The stone was very large. But suddenly there was a powerful earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat down on it. His face was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. The guards were so terrified they shook and fell like dead men. The women arrived at the grave just as the sun was rising, and they looked and saw that the stone was rolled away. Mary Magdalene ran to tell Peter and John. The other women went into the tomb, but they did not find the body. As they stood there confused, suddenly two men in shining white clothes were standing beside them, saying, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. He must be crucified and on the third day rise again." They were terrified. Then a young man sitting to the right in long white robes told them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Come, look at the place where he lay. Now quickly go, tell his disciples that he is going on to Galilee. They will see him there." The women hurried out of the tomb and ran from the grave, filled with fear and joy. When Mary came to Peter and John, she told them, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." They left for the grave, and John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Peter, who went straight into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head, not with the others, but folded up by itself. Then John went in too, and saw and believed it. They still did not understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back, but Mary stood crying outside the grave, sobbing. She bent down and looked in and saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet, who asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?"
"They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him,"
she answered. Then she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize who it was. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She took him for the gardener and said,
"Please, sir, if you take him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go and get him."
Mary.
Master.
Jesus told Mary Magdalene, "Stop clinging to me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet, but go to my brothers and tell them, I will ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." She went and announced to the disciples,
"I have seen the Lord,"
and what he had told her. The other women who had fled from the tomb said nothing to anyone on the way because they were afraid. When suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Rejoice!" They came to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Go, Take word to my brothers to leave for Galilee. They'll see me there. So they went and reported all this to the 11 and all the others. But though Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, James' mother, and the women with them told them all these things, their words seemed to the apostles to be nonsense, and they would not believe them. And two disciples left that very day for Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Were talking with each other about everything that had happened when Jesus himself approached and started walking with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What's this you're discussing as you walk?" They stopped, downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, answered him,
"Are you the only teacher here in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened?
What things?"
"The things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet with powerful words and signs in the sight of God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers of our people delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Besides that, it's 3 days now since it happened, and some of our women have astonished us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back telling us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women said, but they didn't see him."
"How foolish you are! How slow your hearts are to believe everything the prophets have said. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah, the Christ, to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them everything about himself in all the scriptures." When they reached Emmaus, he acted as though he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying,
"Stay with us. It's getting toward evening. The day is almost over."
When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other,
"Weren't our hearts burning inside us while he walked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?"
They got up immediately and returned to Jerusalem, where they found the others gathered together at the table and saying,
"The Lord has risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon."
Then the two started to tell what had happened on the road and how Jesus had revealed himself to them in the breaking of the bread. Were still talking, though the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus himself came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. So Jesus said, "Why are you upset? Why do doubts arise in your minds? See my hands and feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, but as you see, I do. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him. And when they still couldn't believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in front of them and said, "This is just what I told you while I was still with you. Everything about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and told them, "This is what is written, that the Messiah should suffer and rise from death on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, starting at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to it." Then once more he told them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever's sins you forgive are forgiven. Whoever's sins you retain are retained. Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our text, the words of the angel to the women at the tomb. He isn't here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. This is our text. The world is changed. When Jesus rose from the dead, the world became a different place. Some events are like that. They change the world. They change our lives. All of you could probably name some events that have had a major impact in your life. Marriage, divorce, a birth, a death, a new job, a relocation. We've all had life-changing events of one kind or another. And then there are the significant events that have changed the wider world. Days where you can remember exactly where you were and what you were doing when you heard the news. Days that you lived through or you know from world history. 9/11, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the death of JFK, D-Day, Pearl Harbor, the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, Gettysburg, the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and on and on. The world is different because of these things. But I'm here to tell you today that there's one event that tops them all. There's one event that has made the world different in a way that no other event possibly could. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has risen. The one who was crucified on a Friday was alive and risen in his body on Sunday morning when the women went to the tomb. And it was just as he had said. Which makes me wonder, how can we live like it's not that big a deal? Why do we so often act as if Easter is a big deal on this day, but not on every single day of our lives? Because there is no day that you and I live on which Jesus is not alive and risen and reigning. You might wonder whether he really rose from the dead. When the women came back to tell the men, the disciples, that Jesus, the tomb was empty and the angel said he was alive, the disciples thought it was just an idle tale, just a bunch of words made up in hysteria or wishful thinking. Somehow the empty tomb has to be explained. The Jewish leaders explained it. They explained it by bribing the soldiers and telling them to lie that the disciples had come and stolen the body. But the body was never found dead because he was alive and risen. And there are people today who begin as skeptics of the resurrection, who think that it wasn't possible, it couldn't have taken place, and who set out to investigate it. And what they find is this, that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is as good or better than the evidence for any other ancient event. What is the evidence that he is risen? The evidence is a tomb that was empty, a body that was never found dead, the testimony of dozens and hundreds of people who saw him alive in different places at different times over a course of 40 days, as we just heard in the gospel reading, and people who were willing to die because they said that Jesus was alive and risen, and a church that spread around the world, and love that was shown to people in need, and to slaves, and to the poor, and to others. All of this came from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I have no idea how much of our world is based on Jesus rising from the dead. How much of what we have come to believe and know, the desire to care for people in need, was something that rose because Jesus rose from the dead. It wasn't part of Roman culture. It wasn't part of Greek culture. It was part of Christian culture. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Those who have set out to investigate this question have determined that he did. And we believe it not only because of their investigation, but because of the testimony that we have in the Gospels and in the New Testament. Jesus is risen and he is alive. And this changes the world. Because Jesus rose, you cannot remain the same. We can't simply go back to being who we were yesterday or the day before. It means something. And it means something for us today and for tomorrow and for every day that follows after that. And what it means is this: you cannot stay in your sins. You cannot go back to the sins that you've lived in the past, to the words and the deeds and the actions that nailed Christ to the cross. Those sins are dead and gone, and they have been buried with him, and they remain in the grave. But you, dear friend, you rise today with your sin behind you, with the guilt and the shame having been taken away and nailed to Christ on the cross. What it means is this: that we no longer live in fear of death, because death has been broken. Death swallowed Christ, and it could not hold him. So death has been overcome. Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And now we know that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. We know that he is the Son of God because he claimed it in his earthly life and because the Father raised him from the dead, showing that this is his beloved Son. We know also that what Jesus says is true. Whether we like what he says or not, whether we rejoice to hear all of his words or not, we know that everything he said is true. His resurrection from the dead proves it. And we know this as well: that having died for our sins, he has been raised for our justification. That God the Father has accepted his sacrifice on our behalf, and we are now reconciled to the Father. Our sins do not stand between us and God, for Christ, crucified and risen, stands between us and his Father. And he stands there with his forgiveness, with life, and with salvation for you and me. Dear friends, today we come to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. We come to celebrate not only an event that happened once long ago, but we come to celebrate an event that happened and makes a difference for us today and every day. Because every morning when you rise, it is like you are rising from the sleep of death, and you are putting on Christ again. You are stepping back into your baptism, and you are wearing your Lord. Every day is a mini resurrection, preparing us for the great last day when our Lord returns in glory and all of the dead will be raised. Dear friends, your sins are forgiven. Death has been defeated. Hell's gates have been broken down because he was not at the tomb, but he was risen just as he said. He is risen for you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Lord God, on this glorious day, fill your people with a holy fear at the resurrection of your Son, that we would tremble no longer before the grave, but rejoice and live in the truth of your power to save. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be with our Synod President, our district president, our pastor and vicar, and all pastors. Keep them faithful to deliver to your people the good news of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection as handed down by the apostles. Lord, in your mercy, let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless our president and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil, and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve with integrity and honor. Protect the innocent and bring to an end all war and strife. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially Barbara Terhune, Annika, Michelle Studlian, Anthony Simeone and Keith, his father, Diane Elbert, Marilyn Arsenault, Ann Blaze, Lisa Crawford, John Erickson, Randy Hunter, Rosemarie Jackson, Nancy Kengis, Ed Pinard, Helene Schott, Stan Thompson, Luann Trigo, Joe Zaneski, Mike and Nancy McTye, John Meyer Jr., and all who have asked for our prayers. Uphold and encourage those who are homebound, especially Karen Hamill, Janet Lipke, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar, in the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith. Overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort those who mourn with the truth of Christ's empty tomb, that in their grief they may abide in the hope of his resurrection. Uphold them in faith as they await the day when you will wipe away tear from all faces. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm. You will not abandon my soul, Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after other gods shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will pour out, nor take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, and let the Holy One see corruption. You make known the path to life, the path of my life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand you are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption.
Thank you.
Preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one eternal God, now and in the endless world to come. Amen.
Dearest Lord Jesus, Master and Savior, Alpha and Omega, firstborn from the dead, thanks and praise and glory to you, O risen brother, living God, lead us and we will follow you to the cross, to the grave, and to the skies. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.